When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. What watches in the wheat? The Colby Water Tower Enigma. Welcome, dear listeners, to Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Raven Vale, and tonight we journey to the heart of America, to the endless golden plains of western Kansas. A place where the sky stretches forever, the wind whispers through vast fields of wheat, and the silence can be as profound as the distant horizon. Specifically, we are going to Colby, Kansas, in the late summer of 2008. In such a landscape, life follows the rhythms of the land, the planting, the growing, the harvest. It is a place of hard work, close-knit communities, and a certain stoicism born from battling the elements. The Jensen Farm, a sprawling operation on the outskirts of Colby, embodied this spirit. For generations, the Jensens had tilled these fields, and by 2008, they employed a small crew of dedicated farmhands. One of these was Elias Thorne, a quiet, reliable man in his late 20s, who had worked for the Jensens for 3 seasons. Elias was known for his steady hand with machinery, his solitude, and his meticulous attention to the fields under his care. The morning of September 12th dawned clear and crisp, a perfect day for harvest. But it quickly devolved into a scene of unimaginable horror. Old Man Jensen, as he was affectionately known, was making his usual pre-dawn rounds to check the irrigation pivots. As the rising sun began to paint the sky with streaks of orange and purple, his gaze fell upon the silhouette of the town's old, rusting water tower. It stood like a lone sentinel against the vast expanse, a familiar landmark. But on this morning, something was terribly wrong. Hanging from the very top of the water tower, suspended by one leg, was the unmistakable figure of a man. Upside down, the grim discovery sent a jolt of ice through Jensen's veins, chilling him far more effectively than the morning air. It was Elias Thorne. His body swayed gently in the nascent breeze, a macabre pendulum against the pale sky. The sight was not only horrifying, but baffling. How could he have gotten up there? And why, in such an unspeakably grotesque position? The small town of Colby was instantly gripped by a mixture of shock, grief, and profound unease. Police and emergency services swarmed the Jensen farm. The scene around the water tower was cordoned off. The initial theories were, naturally, suicide or a deeply disturbed act of murder. But as investigators began to meticulously process the scene, the case twisted into something far more bizarre, something that defied any logical explanation. There were no footprints in the soft earth around the base of the tower, despite the dew-laden ground. No ladder was found, no ropes or climbing gear. The water tower itself offered no obvious handholds or footholds for someone to ascend, let alone secure themselves in such a manner. The height was formidable, making it an almost impossible feat without specialized equipment. And Elias Thorne was not known for any extreme climbing hobbies or suicidal tendencies. He was a simple farmhand, not an acrobat. The method of his death was not just unusual, it felt deliberate, performed by something with an unnatural capability. Then came the second, profoundly unsettling detail. As police expanded their search across the Jensen fields, looking for any discarded evidence, any sign of a struggle, they began to notice something. Everywhere they looked, the scarecrows had moved. Every single one. There were dozens of them across the Jensen's extensive property, each typically placed strategically to deter birds from the ripening crops. But now, every single scarecrow, from the battered one near the old barn to the newer, more elaborate figure at the far western edge of the furthest field, was facing the water tower. Their burlap heads, tattered clothes, and outstretched wooden arms were all uniformly oriented towards the solitary structure where Elias Thorne hung. It was as if they had all turned in unison, silent witnesses to an unspeakable act. Or perhaps something more. Their collective gaze was fixed, unnerving, as if they were observing, judging, or even waiting. The farm hands who knew the scarecrows intimately swore they hadn't been moved. They were heavy, cumbersome things, often staked deep into the ground. To move even one would require considerable effort, let alone dozens, all with precision, in the dead of night, without a trace. This detail sent a chill through the investigators, a prickle of unease that went beyond routine police work. And then the silence, the overwhelming, oppressive silence of the crows. Anyone familiar with rural Kansas knows the constant presence of crows. Their raucous caws are the soundtrack to the fields, a cacophony that fills the air from dawn till dusk. But on the morning, Elias Thorne was found, and for the entire 48 hours that followed, the crows were utterly silent. Not a single caw, not a single flap of wings. They sat on fence posts, on telephone wires, on the highest branches of solitary trees, hundreds of them, motionless, their beady eyes seemingly fixed on the land, or perhaps on the water tower itself. It was an unnatural quiet, a heavy, expectant hush that blanketed the landscape. It was as if the very air held its breath, awaiting something, or perhaps acknowledging a truth that humans could not comprehend. The local police, led by Sheriff Peterson, a man whose career had been built on cattle rustling and petty disputes, was utterly out of his depth. There was no forensic evidence, no fingerprints, no DNA, not belonging to Elias himself. No sign of a struggle at the tower's base or top. No witnesses. The scarecrows and the crows were, of course, dismissed as coincidences, or the overactive imaginations of distraught farmhands. But the sheriff, a man of the land, felt the weight of it, the cold unease that permeated the community. They had no answers. None at all. Elias Thorne's death was ruled as unexplained, a chilling euphemism for a mystery too profound for human solution. The community of Colby, a place where everyone knew everyone, was left grappling with an impossible question. Was it a cult? A deranged serial killer specializing in macabre farm-themed horrors? But there was no record of such a group. No other similar cases in the vast, empty plains, and the lack of physical evidence, the uncanny precision of the scarecrows, the preternatural silence of the birds, these details spoke of something beyond human malice. The Jensen farm, once a source of pride, became tainted. The fields, once symbols of abundance, now felt like silent, watchful eyes. The scarecrows, once guardians against pests, now seemed like sentinels, their tattered forms hiding some terrible knowledge. People whispered about ancient spirits of the land, about unseen forces that guarded the bounty of the earth, or perhaps demanded a price. They spoke of things that watch from the endless rows of wheat, things that do not like to be disturbed, things that exert their will in ways humanity can barely fathom. What watches in the wheat, dear listeners? Is it the spirit of the land itself, displeased by some unknown trespass? Was Elias Thorne an unwitting sacrifice, presented to some unseen entity that claimed him from the sky? The water tower, a landmark of human ingenuity, became a grim altar. The upside-down suspension, a ritualistic display. The scarecrows, normally guardians, became passive observers, their faces turned, their wooden arms extended. Perhaps in silent acknowledgement, or even reverence to something that demanded such a spectacle. And the crows, the constant noisy observers of the rural world, fell silent, a collective gasp from the natural world, a shared horror at what had transpired. In the vast, lonely stretches of Colby, Kansas, the wind still whispers through the wheat fields. And in those whispers, if you listen closely enough, you might still hear the echo of an unsolved mystery, and the chilling question of what unseen eyes are truly observing the endless expanse, what ancient forces claimed Elias Thorne, and what, precisely, was watching in the wheat that late summer day in 2008. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night.